Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, and today is Tuesday, October 27th, 2015. We're welcoming the Happy Hour guys back to Beer Sessions.
All right. Hey!
This is going to be a lively show. We got Justin Kennedy, our producer.
Hey, what's
you guys
up, Jimmy?
Introduce yourselves, because I can't introduce you.
I am Jimmy Ludwig of the Happy Hour guys, and...
Squiggs Robertson, also of the Happy Hour guys,
and Mark Aldrich.
So these are some we got some crazy actors in our midst, Justin, who have made a in between their whatever touring gigs as actors.
They
ended up
fun.
Making what over 300 episodes of the Beer TV, the Happy Hour guys.
That's right. That's right.
That's true.
Big thanks
true.
To our sponsors. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, suppliers of world class ales and lagers. And if you have questions for our guests, follow us live at Twitter at @beer_sessions. Maggie's there in the studio, and she's taking some photos too. So this is pretty cool. But the theme tonight, we wanted to have you guys on because you know we've had over 300 shows as Happy Hour guys.
Thanks.
And but also we want to go to some of the top beer destinations out there because it's kind of a theme. Even today on Facebook, our friend Christian DeBenedetti said, "Oh man, what's a good place to go in Idaho?" And suddenly there are people telling them the places to go. And I know, Justin, you've written some things recently about best beer cities.
My angle was kind of unexpected beer destinations. But, you know, as we're seeing, there's over 4,000 breweries open in the U.S. right now. So pretty much anywhere you go is a pretty good beer destination at this point. So,
well, we actually had an interesting weekend last weekend. Speaking of beer destinations, let's start with Maine. We went up to Kittery, Maine last weekend to Tributary Brewing, which is just, you know, this amazing place. And that a rock star brewer that we've known for years. And
Todd Mott.
Yeah,
Todd
and
Mott.
Opened his own place.
Who's been a member of the craft beer community for years and years and years. Definitely paid his dues all along the way and became well known for, he was the creator of Kate the Great at Portsmouth Brewing, which is probably what a lot of people recognize him for.
And we did a show with him winter 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Great show with Todd Mott.
Great guy, advanced degree in ceramics of all things.
A master's degree in ceramics.
And I know some things about him. He actually was the creator of the Harpoon IPA.
Yes, he was.
So he's like a 25-year brewing pioneer.
Talk about a pioneer, absolutely. And he should be an actor. He should be an actor because he's kind of a crazy dude. I mean, I can't wait to cut this footage. It's still in the can. I can't wait to cut it, but we've got some really fun stuff with him.
He's not shy.
No.
In all the best kinds.
But how does it work for you guys? So, you know, we're going to talk about Maine and we're going to drink some, what are you drinking, Allagash?
This is Allagash 2014 Interlude. It's a Brettanomyces fermented or re-fermented strong ale aged in red wine barrels. It's about 9.5%. So
we're going to start. We're
starting off small, basically.
Exactly.
Our beer destination show. We're gonna go with you guys up to Maine and travel back through New England.
Yeah. Yep.
But so this is what you guys do as Happy Hour guys.
It is. We met. Jimmy and I met in 2003 doing a show at the Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C.
We're both actors. We should say that.
Yes,
we're professional actors.
Professional.
All three of us are. Squiggs is a professional actor as well, well as an illustrator.
And we met doing a production of 1776 and realized pretty quickly that we were going to the same bars and drinking the same things.
Sit down, Sean.
And before you knew it, we started talking about the idea of a show. And like a Travel Channel type show, but focused on interesting bars, breweries, distilleries, and then we just took the leap and started doing it ourselves rather than waiting for anybody else.
Well, there's actually we took the leap, but what we did first, we got idea. We thought, let's shoot a pilot. That'll be great. We'll shoot a pilot, and then the Discovery Channel will swoop in on angels' wings and swoop in, and we'll have a show. And so we got like a professional team together, and we hired a producer. And we hired editors and we shot our pilot at McSorley's right down the street from your place, Jimmy. And we were all excited and we shot it. And we thought it was great and we put it out there and it just sat there.
And our friends and family watch it and say, "That's
so
great."
So you figured you're going to go big time or you're going to go home, and instead you kept it going.
Well, at a certain point, we figured wait a minute, we should just keep doing this because we like it. And then all of a sudden we were like, you know what? I just really like producing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. At one point, we just it became not about being discovered or necessarily getting to network or anything like that. It became about the people we were meeting and the fact that craft was exploding, and we were just sort of riding the crest of it, you know, and we just kept going.
Yeah, we had a brewer say to us in, I think it might have been 2008, 2009, really early, it was like, it's really lucky you guys landed and started doing stuff in the East Coast when you did, because yeah. We kind of, in terms of video coverage, we were doing stuff way before a lot of people on the East Coast, not a lot Colorado and California, because right. It was, but the craft beer tidal wave was just hitting when we were starting to shoot. And
what
was
some of the early shows that you really liked? Certain breweries that you went to?
The one that we were going to talk about, talking about New England, that really sort of raised the hairs on the back of our neck was when we were shooting at the Alchemist, because we happened to shoot at the Alchemist Brew Pub about 3 weeks to almost to the day
in Vermont.
Yeah. In Vermont. With John Kimmick, Vermont. The guys that make Heady Topper. And John's a friend of ours. We've known him since 2010 because we met him at GABF.
We met him at GABF, and he was just coming into sort of national attention, and people were talking a lot about Heady Topper, and we had met him and decided that we really needed to get up there and see what was going on, because it was just beginning to hit, and it was, you know, just before it took on the mythical proportions that it has at this point.
And we happened to be there sitting at the bar, and we have this clip, and we actually gave it to you guys. We gave an audio version of this clip, and it'll be on your website at Heritage Radio, at Beer Sessions Radio. But it's John Kimmick talking about the building and talking about how there was a big flood in like 1929 in Waterbury, Vermont, and then talking about how he has this really high-priced flood insurance, and if a flood does hit, he should be fine.
In the unlikely event.
Yes.
I mean, he could point to the flood lines on the wall from you know, 1929.
Yeah, and then 3 weeks later, Hurricane Irene hit, and it basically destroyed the brew pub. And a couple months after that,
it was 2011.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
In 2011.
2011.
And a couple months after that, the high price flood insurance refused to cover everything below ground level, which was his entire brewing operation.
Was, oh, wow.
Yeah,
and the office, the business offices, and the brewing operation.
Everything. Down. Yeah. So, the only saving grace was that weeks before Hurricane Irene hit, he had opened the cannery, which was up the street, but. The fact that we have him talking about it on camera right before this hurricane hit Vermont is just kind of that will always stay with me. I'll always think about that.
Wow, that's amazing. And we know now that the old Alchemist is prohibition
it
big.
Is. That's right. Rich, wonderful, up there,
which is amazing. Pub,
in Vermont. To their own stuff. Yeah.
I hope Chad has good insurance.
I'm sure they're prepared. I would hope so.
You guys are making history. And I've noticed that you're able to. You're saying from what you did, people can go back now and look at these stories.
Yeah. We're the Forrest Gumps of the craft beer on the East Coast, because we kind of always seem to be wherever the things are happening. We've been lucky.
So we just say, run, Forrest, run.
We've been running.
It's fun with actors. I can use movie lines.
Right?
This is pretty cool. Wow. Well, I don't know. Cheers to you guys. So what are we drinking, Justin, again? The Allagash?
It's Allagash Interlude. It's a... It's been in the bottle for about a year now. I think it was released last October, and it's tasting pretty good.
It's amazing.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, going further with our New England theme.
Well, funny thing about talking about Allagash, when we were up at Tributary over this past weekend, purely by chance, we clearly didn't do quite enough research. We were going up to interview Todd Mott at Tributary and hoping to stop by Maine Beer Company and maybe do another couple of things, because there's so much going on in Maine right now. And it turned out that there were 4 beer releases on that Saturday morning,
wow. Yeah.
Including Mott the Lesser at Tributary, and then dinner at Maine Beer Company, the Ghoulship at Allagash, and then Swish at Bissell. We're all releasing the same
morning. How come we didn't know about that, Justin?
I don't know. I didn't get invited to any of those.
Absolutely crazy.
It was
and
insane.
Even more insane, we happened to be staying at a hotel directly across the street from the Maine Beer Company.
From Maine Beer.
Nice. I mean, directly across the street. So,
and we wondered, why is everybody at this hotel going to bed at 8 p.m.?
And why did the cost of a room double in the last month? Because everybody there was there for the beer release.
Is that how those like out of the way breweries stay in business? So they in the off season they do these special releases?
I wouldn't say that's the case with any of these guys. Yeah. Actually, they're making crazy good beer, and they've got very, very devoted local followings. Yeah. But I think these crazy one offs that they do give them the national exposure. that they, you know, they can reach past the community that they're in and get, you know, the za from guys like us or people that come into town to do stuff like that. So,
well, I, because of the slamming doors in the hotel, I woke up at quarter to six on Saturday morning and thought, well, what kind of, you know, beer reporter or whatever we are, am I, if I don't at least go across the street and see what's going on? So at 6 a.m., I wandered across the street and got in line just to see what the experience was like. And I was about 454 in line at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
They made 740 cases of dinner, which, if you don't know, is a double IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And by about 8:45, all 740 cases were gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we did the same thing years and years before. In, I think, 2009, I happened to be in Chicago, and I heard about this brewery, this brewery down in Munster, Indiana, called Three Floyds, and they have this beer that they release. And I was, you know, again, we were just figuring things out, and we weren't quite into our beer geekdom that as much then, but I've managed to get a golden ticket. Again, this is before, you know, Dark Lord Day went crazy, and I showed up with the cameras and I stood in line and we have an episode on it, and I got my bottles and everything was great. But it was just, I don't think I quite realized just how lucky I was that day. You know, but wherever we go as actors, that's where we shoot. That's another thing. Yeah. Mark's been on a national tour for the last year. He's about to go out again.
Going back out.
You know, Squiggs does a lot of work.
Which show is it, Mark?
Newsies. Yes, I'm going back out on the road next week.
And I was just in St. Louis doing a production of The Full Monty and managed to get to Perennial Brewing and actually to sit down with Tom Schlafly over at Schlafly. So that was really fun.
Did you do The Full Monty?
Hell yes, I did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is there video of that, Jimmy?
I hope not.
And then Squiggs.
My eyes!
And you were just, what are some shows you've been in, Squiggs? Yeah. Let's talk about the shows now, because it's kind of fun.
Shows. As far as New York, my only New York credit has been Can-Can at the Paper Mill Playhouse out in Millburn, New Jersey, which I did about last year at this exact
time.
Yeah,
about a year ago.
So, yeah. Mostly, but I was based in Los Angeles for many years and only came to New York about 5 years ago to follow my illustration career and then... kind of dabble, you know, keep my feet back in the water. But
Squiggs is basically the he's like a rock star Broadway illustrator. He draws all the shows for Broadway.com.
That's what's on my business card. Yes, rock star Broadway illustrators. Like, but you, that don't
but also
go
too, like you came in last year with Justin and you brought some beers back from Portland. Oregon.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Oregon, and also being from the West Coast, it's kind of a part of the country that the Happy Hour guys really hasn't done a lot of coverage on, just because of their tours and their timing. But it's, you know, I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles and San Diego, and then of course I grew up in Oregon, have family in Washington, so the West Coast is kind of my part.
That's
of the
his
country.
Beat.
So
yeah.
So yeah, anytime I go back and visit the folks, I, you know, try to catch a few new breweries, and every time I go back, it's nonstop. It's like, you know, it's exploding here on the East Coast, but it's been exploding on the West Coast for so long.
Yeah.
Our buddy Chris O'Leary of Brew York was just out in Eugene, which is a little bit south of where my folks are, and he was listing off these breweries that I hadn't heard of, and I'm like, my folks live 45 minutes away, so I said, Chris, make me a list. I'm going to hit him up when I get back to
the... So we know the, and it's more than a phenomenon now. It's what, how many breweries are there in the country?
There's 4,000.
Over 4,000. That was the big announcement at GABF this year, but...
Mm-hmm. Most are local, most are small.
Most are local, most are really small. I'm not sure what the breakdown of the numbers is, but it's, you know, most of them are serving their extremely local area, if, you know, just if right. not just their neighborhoods.
Well, and there's an interesting parallel, I think, between what we do for a living, between the acting business and the craft beer industry, because there's a lot of local and small, right? There's a lot of small theaters that do shows just for their communities. Mm-hmm. And then you get the great big shows, the Broadway shows, that do shows for lots of other people. And I think in the same way, you've got local craft brewers. And then you've got, you know, the regional brewers that their reach is quite further, a lot further than that. So there's a lot of parallels that we've found, and we never saw that coming. But then we realized that they really are between
okay,
the craft
so
and us.
You guys are up in Maine. Kittery, Maine, tributary. It's talk about beer destinations. Is that a worthy destination?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Todd Mott.
Todd Mott is basically a brewing genius. I mean, he really is. He's proven it over and over.
Talk about the pumpkin ale.
Talk about the pumpkin ale.
He made a pumpkin ale that is gourd forward.
That's his
There's
phrase.
No
gourd
spice.
Forward.
Gourd forward. It was great. He was like, you know, they didn't have spices back then.
when they were making beer out of pumpkins, they were just using pumpkins as fermentable sugars. They didn't have spices. It was too expensive. He talks exactly like that.
This is a beer for people who believe in gourd.
Yes.
But then there's a secret, too. So Todd's brother's an actor, right?
That is true. Yes. And so, Jimmy's about to work with him, actually.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be doing a show with him in New Jersey in a couple of weeks.
What's the show?
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol,
it's
man.
It's that time of year, baby. I got to grow the chops.
The mutton chops.
Mutton
return.
Chops. Here they come. Look out, everybody.
We're getting somewhere. We're talking about beer destinations. We're taking a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Cheers.
Good start, guys. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. In 1996, L Knife & Son acquired Union Beer Distributors, which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Cider Week helps to bring profitability to local orchards while reviving heirloom apple varieties by cultivating awareness of craft cider. Cider Week connects cider makers from New York State and select pioneering guest cideries outside the state to buyers from top restaurants, bars, and retail shops across New York City. Those culinary tastemakers, in turn, help increase consumer awareness of cider's pleasures by hosting public events, tastings, dinners, classes, and pairings that build appreciation and demand for regional ciders.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We got a show here. We got the guys from Happy Hour, guys.
You've got the show here.
The That's show. Yeah. Talking a little about beer destinations, but kind of based on where they've traveled in over 300 episodes around the country. So you guys just popped something from Michigan.
From New Holland.
We know you're from there, Jimmy Ludwig.
Yeah, I grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And Michigan right now is called the Great Beer State. There's a lot of craft. Number five in terms of number of breweries that are up
that sounds
and running
about
right now.
Yeah.
They're doing some great stuff. New Holland, they're pals of ours. We love them because of their ethic. They do some cool stuff with. They have a distillery on site. You know, they actually got bonded to distill and
craft beer on site.
They do craft
spirits,
beer on site. Yeah. They're doing a ton of barrel aging. They have a huge barrel aging program. I mean, Dragon's Milk is they're leading into new markets with Dragon's Milk.
Let's jump in. What did you just open up? What is this?
Just opened up.
Mark tells. Mark tells.
Well, I don't know if Mark knows.
I don't have my glasses on.
All right. Envious. Michigan pears fuel a second fermentation, providing subtle nuance between grain and fruit.
So what's the name of the beer?
It's called Envious. It is from
New
their
Holland.
Cellar series, vintage 2012. Sends slumber on oak and local
so
raspberries, adds depth and tartness.
Yeah. So you guys, did you do a New Holland episode?
We did a series. We did a couple.
We've done
so tell us how that happened. So how did you meet them and what were some of the things you covered in your shows?
Well, the first thing we did, we wanted to go over there and talk to them about the barrel aging that they were doing, about Dragon's Milk and all that. But then we got brought back because we connected with, we've been doing some consulting. That was the other thing that came up for us. We started connecting with restaurant chains that are doing craft beer stuff. And this restaurant chain out in Michigan and Indiana called Bagger Dave's, contacted us and said, you want to do a beer tour for a month and visit breweries and our properties and connect beers and do some events and stuff. And we did that. And we met some people, and New Holland was one of the places we shot at. So
it's a great way to sort of introduce, you know, the restaurant industry to some of the craft some of the craft people who they might not have had a personal connection with before, and we were able to sort of put them in touch with each other and do a series of videos about the food that they were serving and how you might want to pair that up with some of the drinks that their local producers were making. It was a pretty cool thing.
And we also did the event that we did with New Holland was for a charity that they've paired up with called Dirty Water Beer. Which is the charity's about providing clean water around the world and, you know, digging wells and all that kind of stuff. And just, you know, one of the things we love about craft, which is brewers giving back, you know, let's not just take care of our local community, but let's sponsor races. Let's sponsor charities.
One of the things we have said over and over and over is that brewers make great neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, we keep trying to get people to understand that if you've got a brewer in your neighborhood, they're looking out for you. They're probably doing some charitable work. They're giving back to the community. They're providing jobs.
Taxes.
And they're giving a sense of, you know, of place, of purpose, of community.
So you guys are in Michigan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Recording at Bagger Dave's in New Holland. What's a typical day like? I mean, you guys on the road, sleeping on the side of the road. I mean, are they putting you up in hotels?
That one was nice because we were in hotels, but we were working hard. We were shooting a couple of breweries. I mean, think about it. You're going to shoot a couple breweries a day. That's if you show up at 1 o'clock and you start shooting, you think it's going to take 2 hours. It usually takes,
it
what
never
we say,
takes
four
2 hours. Yeah, you know? It takes at least three or four.
You take three, you know, and then you somehow have to get yourself to whatever your next property is and shoot that. We very early in when we started doing this, we thought we could do three in a day.
That was a mistake.
That was a real mistake.
That was a big
we thought
mistake.
That was just because by the time we got to the third brewery, we were just like, yeah. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Start before 1 o'clock. That would be my advice.
Well, we're theater people. Not much starts before 1 o'clock.
Exactly.
And I was still doing my show here in New York. So,
oh God,
so for
right.
for the Michigan tour that we did, I was flying out at like 6 a.m. from New York. Hit the ground in Michigan, and then that's partially why we wouldn't start until 1, because I had to get there and
oh,
we would
wow.
drive.
Yeah.
So we would drive and I would shoot, and then
you
we
were
would...
very fancy that day. You had like a private plane that was just coming.
No,
not
no, no, I yeah, definitely.
But what about Michigan? You stayed in hotels.
Yeah, we stayed in hotels. Essentially located as possible.
And that's when we met, you know, we shot at Bell's, we shot at Arbor Brewing, Atwater, Shorts Brewing,
Dipped
New Holland.
Do they all seem the same, or what are some unique characteristics of these Michigan breweries?
Oh, God. Well, like Shorts, for instance, only distributing, like New Glarus, only distributing to their state. You know, Shorts is the kind of beer that they could sell out wherever they went, but because they've, you know, multiple award-winning medals and they do all these crazy, wonderful beers, but they've made a rule that they will only distribute to the state. They only distribute in the state of Michigan. As a matter of fact, I just was there a couple of weeks ago and I saw on one of their cases, it says Michigan only, Michigan forever at the top of the case. So, I mean, that's a huge thing. Some brewers want to do it that way. Others want to reach beyond state borders and go as far as they can.
Have you seen that happen in a lot of states, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jimmy nailed the two big ones, Shorts and New Glarus in Wisconsin. You know, I think that's a cool thing to do. It also creates some hype because, you know, you can't get that beer outside the state.
That's
so,
right.
You know, being a little cynical, that's kind of how I see it. But, it's cool that, you know... And it also fosters this state pride, if you will. So that's cool.
Michigan's been fun to shoot in. We've had a good time there.
Grand Rapids. What a resurgence in Grand Rapids. I mean, who would have thought that they would have been voted, you know, Beer City USA?
Well, and we've shot at Founders a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And when you go to Founders Tap Room, what you don't know, when you walk in, it's gorgeous. You know, it looks like a Munich beer hall. But what you don't know is that originally it was an abandoned truck terminal that had a bunch of homeless people living in it. I mean, that part of Grand Rapids was a mess. And they fixed it. They changed it all around. Now it's full of art galleries and you know, high-end restaurants and Bagger Dave's and all those other people because of Founders. They led the charge.
Yeah. Well, one of the big engines driving the resurgence in Detroit right now is craft beer.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if they can bring that city back from where they've been,
that's quite
that
the
would
challenge.
Be fantastic.
For sure.
I think, is one of your buddies from New Holland going to call in?
He is.
I believe he is.
Fred
yeah.
Biltman, who's the beer evangelist.
Beer evangelist himself.
Yeah.
So you guys in the studio, Liz, and let us know when... if you can call in,
yeah. If we can
we'll
get,
talk
if we can get the beer evangelist, who's done everything from create books of recipes.
He's got
a book called The Beer Evangelist Guide to the Galaxy, which is pretty awesome.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
But tell me more about New Holland. I mean, we have a show that we recorded that's going to air this winter, talking more about their spirits. This guy Rich Blair and that was pretty great. But well, I've never had their beer before.
It was fun for me when Mark came out, because the first time we were there, I shot it with myself and with, we have these wonderful sort of adjunct faculty happy hour people around the country, and we have a couple in Michigan, the science guy and the loud guy, and they helped me shoot. Everybody's got a title, by the way. I'm the communicator guy. Mark's the historian guy. Squiggs is Squiggs.
The artsy guy.
So it's kind of like, this is like a, is it a Jimmy Kimmel show or something? With beer. See, they get my reference. Who got that reference? That was a tough one. Actors.
Yeah. Everybody has their guy. But I shot in New Holland first, and then when Mark came out, he had never been in the barrel aging room, which is massive. I mean, it's where they age all their dragon's milk and a bunch of other stuff. But it's, I don't know, how big would you say it is, Mark? It's huge.
It's enormous. I mean, I couldn't even try to put a square footage to it, but it's they've
it's
made
like
it.
Airplane
they've
hangar.
Made it a focus of their brewery, which I, you know, give them credit for.
So we're drinking the vintage 2012 New Holland Envious.
Envious.
Cellar Series.
And you know what? When we tell Fred that we're drinking that, he's gonna freak out, because they only made that year. They made it in 2012, and that's it. Somehow I got a bottle.
He's gonna be envious.
So do not look for this in your local beer store.
Oh, look what you did there.
And then since we're talking Michigan now, Jimmy, I know that you're the Upper Peninsula thing.
That's where I was raised.
What are a couple of places that we may not have heard of?
Well, the big one would be Black Rocks Brewing, which is in Marquette, Michigan, where a lot of my family lives. And Black Rocks was a couple of guys who, one in particular, who was working for a drug company as a drug rep and lost his job. They'd been home brewing, and they decided to open a place in this place, you know, in Marquette, Michigan, which is, you know, 9 months of winter and 3 months of bad sledding. And now they're,
You know, you inspired me. You've talked about the Upper Peninsula before on the show with me, and I did. And now I can finally talk to someone about the author, Jim Harrison.
Yeah.
Oh, there you
I
go.
Went out and I read about five of his books. One of them, Brown Dog, which
great
we can
book.
Talk about. It's based there, right?
In
Marquette.
Yes,
so what's different about the Upper Peninsula than the rest of Michigan?
Nobody's there. It's honestly, the whole landmass is huge, and the whole landmass has about 300,000 people in it. And because the winters are no lie, they're brutal. They're absolutely brutal. So the only people that stay are the ones who can handle it, and they're usually pretty cool. You know, people who can handle that kind of punishment either drink a lot or you know, they're just very mellow. So it's a beautiful place in the summertime. We call it God's Area Code. It's an amazing place. I go back whenever I can. So it's craft beer found its way there too. Finds its way everywhere.
Bell's just opened a brewery up there called Upper Hand.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is affiliated with Bell's, but somewhat separate, I think.
Well, it's Larry's pet project. I mean, you know, Larry's had property in the UP pretty much his entire life. I mean, and he goes up there to fish and hang out and hunt and all that, and he's always wanted to have something up there. So the fact that he did it and actually, you know, like followed through was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And brought a lot of jobs to a community that needed them.
I was just going to say, bringing jobs and attention to an area that probably is very happy to have it.
Oh, yeah. Escanaba, Michigan.
Escanaba.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're talking about beer destinations, too. If you're listening either on Instagram or Twitter, let us know your favorite beer destination, place you would go out of the way.
Yes.
It's got to be slightly far from civilization.
Yep.
Like earlier today, I think on Facebook, someone said Devil's Backbone.
We've shot there, absolutely. Yeah. We love that place.
I just stopped by there just a couple of months ago because I was within 100 miles and I like them so much I had to go. Yeah.
there's another phrase we say on Happy Hour Guys is that if you're within X number of nautical miles from this place, you have to go.
Oh, wait, we can't. I think we got Fred from New Holland on the air. Hello, Fred.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey.
Thanks for calling in, man. You know you're on the phone, so we got the Happy Hour guys here with us. And just so you know, we're drinking your Envious Vintage 2012. So
nice. That's been a little bit.
Right. Still tasting good.
Hey, Fred, it's great to hear your voice. This is Jimmy.
Thanks for calling in, Jimmy. It's Mark. Jimmy. Thanks for calling in, Fred. It's Mark.
It's great to hear both of you guys.
And likewise.
And thrilled to be here talking beer with you.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on in New Holland these days. What's happening?
Well, we got all sorts of stuff going on. We're just trying to keep the plate spinning. We are working on a project where we're going to open a new restaurant, brewery, and distillery in Grand Rapids, Michigan by the fall of next year. We have committed our pub to brewing 100% Michigan ingredients by the end of next year.
Whoa.
That's fantastic.
And And we're releasing 4 Dragon's Milk Reserves this week. So things are all a little crazy.
What? That's amazing. 4 Dragon's Milk Reserves?
Yeah.
What are they? Tell us
a little bit about those.
We've got Dragon's Milk with raspberries. We have Dragon's Milk with toasted chilies. And we have Dragon's Milk with coffee and chocolate added. And then we have what we like to call a double dragon is a triple mash. So it's about 14%, and it's aged in all New Holland Artisan Spirit barrels.
Oh, my God. So, Fred, you know, I'll be giving you my address, and we'll be expecting a special delivery package. Those sound unbelievable, man.
Yeah, it's really a fun time. It's great for the guys in the cellar to be able to kind of riff on different things and just explore some different flavors of, you know, variations on a beer that we all love already.
Now, you have a new title, Fred. Can you tell us about that?
My new title is VP of Brand and Lifestyle, in addition to the Beer Evangelist moniker, of course.
So what's that all about?
Lifestyle. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, so, you know, I'm 11 years into the brewery at New Holland, which is an 18-year-old brewery, and I've been doing running VP as VP of sales and marketing for a little over 10 years. And so we had some great opportunities to bring in some talent this year. So at the tail end of last year, we brought in Joel Peterson as vice president of marketing and Adam Lambert, who you guys probably know as
Great.
VP of sales. And
you don't know him, Jimmy. Do you really know him?
Yeah.
My
brand hat on and help.
Go ahead.
And I was able to kind of focus on shaping our voice and looking out for vision forward stuff and being a spokesperson. A lot of stuff I was already doing, but just able to dedicate a little more time to it as we develop our execution structure a little more strongly for sales and marketing.
Now, we were telling Jimmy Carboni, who's the host here, and thanks again for having us, Jimmy. It's great to be here. But we were talking to Jimmy about your Carhartt connection, Fred. What's going on with Carhartt?
Well, so they came to us, I guess it was in 2013, to talk about brewing a beer for them in calendar 2014 to celebrate their 125th anniversary.
Wow.
So we were fast friends. They were looking for somebody. They weren't sure exactly what they wanted to do other than that it made sense for them. They were doing a lot of different commemorative items for that anniversary throughout the year. And so it went from kind of a small one-off project to, let me back up for a minute. Our criteria, which started to develop when they asked to do something, fit really well with what they were looking for in a partner, because we started asking questions saying, you know, we don't really want to do a private label. We don't want to just do a logo exchange. But if you guys want to collaborate and dig in and talk about what this is, then let's see where it can go. And through that conversation, a really strong relationship has developed both personally and professionally between the companies. They are a Michigan company who's rooted in heritage and quality and all these great things. They're also rooted in really the customer experience being the primary target. And all those things were part of our ideals. It was really interesting to see these companies, way different sizes, much different ages, have so much in common. And so that really directed the path of making this beer, the Carhartt Woodsman, which we released last fall. And then we released again this fall. We liked it so much, we decided to bring it back. And we collaborated on some sort of documentary video work. We traveled across the country from northern Michigan through Detroit, through Holland, across Lake Michigan, out to Denver for the GABF. And we just really took it all as a way to celebrate craftsmanship. And what better way to celebrate with a tasty beer?
That's right, man. Jimmy, have you tasted the Carhartt beer yet?
I actually have. We had it at TABF.
What's it like?
It's a beautifully barrel-aged pale ale. It's lovely. It's really, you know, it's got, we're suckers for barrel-aged beer, so we love that. And one of the episodes that we did at New Holland was, you know, New Holland is bringing the wood. You know what I mean?
You don't put any of the clothing in the beer, do you? When you in the wedding kettle.
We keep trying to, we're still waiting for our you know, like overalls. We haven't gotten our overalls yet, but we're hoping for that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Boy, I got a lot to ship you guys.
Fred, you can...
We don't put any clothing in the beer, but I'll tell you from experience that there's plenty of beer on the clothing.
Now, Fred, there's something about... You were telling me that Carhartt is gearing up your brewers on the brew floor.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've transitioned to a whole Carhartt uniform for our guys. They are working on specializing in brewer's gear. We've consulted on some brewer's bibs that they're working on that aren't out yet. But, you know, they're durable, wet strength. They are built for the working people of America, so it made a lot of sense. We had a lot of Carhartt around already, but learning about their business and kind of developing that relationship really encouraged us to dive deeper. So, yeah, the guys are all wearing Carhartt. We're wearing Carhartt in our pub as well. It's good fun. I mean, it does connect two audiences that have a lot of similarities, but there's extremes on either end that don't think about each other. So
yeah.
We did intentionally make a pretty drinkable beer for kind of the blue-collar side of the Carhartt world.
Mm-hmm.
And we also wanted something with a little depth and a little character. And the barrel aging was kind of a nod to the wet strength, rugged environment that Carhartt's in. And we took it to a more subtle place than normal. So we're using second-use Dragon Smoke barrels. So Dragon Smoke has been in them twice. I guess it makes it a third-use barrel. And we're only blending half the batch in the barrel, and then we're dry hopping the other half. So you get this nice little toasty.
Yep, it's nice and subtle.
Subtle vanilla, but it's not. You're not tasting bourbon really, and you're not even tasting like it's an oak bomb or that. It just kind of gives it some middle body roundness.
Mm.
And it's a really interesting signature to a pale ale that we found delightful.
Fred, can you stay on the air with us for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Stay with us. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, we're out here at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick. This is heritageradionetwork.org. Check us out. Become a member. We're not going to talk about it for 10 minutes, but you should definitely become a member. And a lot of benefits, including getting to come on here and hang out with us in studio, man.
Yeah, man.
You know, we got these guys just showed up today. Jimmy, Mark, and Squiggs from the Happy Hour guys.
The Happy Hour
you
guys.
You literally showed up, and I let you on the show. You know, so.
I know. It's a miracle.
That's what happens. Point. We show up a lot, but you never let us on the show until every now and then.
We were just in the neighborhood kicking cans over.
Yes. And you're filming the little videos. A great show, Happy Hour guys. They're filming a video. Later, we're going to walk down the street and knock over cans and, you know.
And shoot that.
Yeah. But right now we got your buddies from Fred.
Fred built
New Holland,
the beer evangelist from New Holland Brewing out in Holland, Michigan.
And great Fred, guy. Are you still on the line?
I'm still here.
All right, man, you're getting into this. We're talking about cars. We get into this. We're talking about these guys travel the world filming videos in between their acting gigs, and we get a little taste of real Michigan culture. So you're making beer at New Holland with parts of Carhartt clothing. Is that true?
Something along those lines. Yeah, you got to taste it. Unbelievable.
I knew you'd like that one.
We actually love New Holland for many reasons, but their ethic is really, you know, they support the community. They're always looking. Fred, we were telling them about it, the event we did with you guys at Bagger Dave's for Dirty Water Beer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about your charitable work? Because that's something that's always been really important to our show.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always keeping an open mind and looking for projects to connect to our ideals or values. And that was an example of a young guy who'd won a competition had this business idea, this model of trying to connect to people about sustainable water practices and providing wells to communities that didn't have quality water. And so he kind of was working on the branding, and this whole Dirty Water Beer was was really his project, but he needed a bit of a host to get it off the ground and to make some beer for him. And so, again, we looked to, rather than, you know, just be on the sidelines, we partnered with him and helped develop a draft-only beer that we sold throughout our kind of core markets in Michigan, and raised enough money for, I believe, at least one well, perhaps two, I'm not sure, and helped this talented young guy kind of take his idea and run with it.
Well, you know, we say this all the time in the show. We said it earlier in this show. Brewers make great neighbors, man. The Michigan community is lucky to have you guys.
So, Fred.
Well, thank you. I mean, really, I look at it like I could reflect this back to what all of you guys are doing too, which is that, you know, I think brewers, we've all been through challenging times and had an idea that looked harder, or, you know, that looked possible but was difficult and wasn't going to happen without some people helping us out. Mm-hmm. So I think we're generally receptive to somebody with an idea that's trying to do good. And so that brings us to, that connects us to a bunch of great people. And that goes throughout our industry, brewing, distilling, restaurant, our neighborhoods, our connectors. But also, you know, what I love about it is the number of, exciting and intense people full of integrity that are around the world.
Like the happy hour guys.
Beer makes the world small.
Fred, one second. Justin has a question for you.
And everybody's willing to chip in. What you guys have done is great in terms of sharing the message and educating people on what's out there, too. It's remarkable.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks,
Fred, Justin has a question for you.
Yeah, Fred, I was going to ask, you said you're opening something in Grand Rapids, so... Founders and Bon Vivant, they're going to have some new neighbors in you. Can you tell us a little bit about the facility there?
Yeah, so our facility is, we're still kind of hammering out some of the details on design, but it'll have a brew house. We'll be doing a lot of gin there. We already distill and sell spirits between gin, whiskey, rum, vodka, et cetera. And so we're going to have a gin and botanical-focused distillery there. It'll be a 400-seat restaurant. We're focusing on a lot of farm-to-table sustainable practices, like having a butcher shop so we can do whole animal butchery, which is much more resourceful in terms of using everything and making some really rustic, awesome dishes. And of course, it'll focus on all the produce that's available in Michigan. We're one of the most, I don't know the stats specifically, but we're really one of the most agriculturally diverse regions going, and not everybody knows that. So we're going to really showcase everything around us that we can, and we're going to have a gin and whiskey bar upstairs. There'll be a four-season open-air atrium, or not quite open-air, but can be open, and then that'll lead into a beer garden. So it's going to be a remarkable place for the community.
That sounds amazing, man.
Part of a neighborhood revitalization on the west side on Bridge Street. And there's a ton of excitement of what's going on there. There's a couple other restaurants opening in the neighborhood, another brewery, Harmony Hall, just opened. So there's a ton of excitement coming into this neighborhood that's needed the investment. And so much of it is about food and drink and about energetic entrepreneurs making it a great place to live. It's just, it's thrilling both to be able to expand what we do and then to be part of this community development.
Wow. Thanks, Fred.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. We gotta move on, but we're so happy to hear you, man. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you so much. Fred. Great to hear from you, Fred.
Yeah, thanks for including us, and cheers, everybody.
Absolutely.
Cheers.
Look forward to the next time.
Cheers, everybody. Let's go back. So before we got Fred on, I said, Devil's Backbone, Blue Ridge Mountains, and everybody lit up. So let's go back to that one.
That's where I grew up.
Yeah, Justin, you loved that.
I didn't know that, Justin.
Really? I'm a Virginia boy myself.
In Virginia, but not near Devil's Backbone, really. Further south, near actually really close to Asheville, North Carolina.
One of the beer cities in this entire country.
Especially on the East Coast, and it was for a while. And, you know, it's been really cool to see Asheville evolve from what I considered, you know, a really cool beer town, but not great stuff coming out. like they had a lot of local breweries. They were focusing on, you know, kind of older styles. But now we have down there, there's some really awesome breweries coming out, like Wicked Weed and Burial.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see how that.
Then why'd you? So Mark, I said Devil's Backbone, Blue Ridge Mountain. You lit up too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a Virginia boy too, but I was from the north of the state. But when
tell them how it happened that we got there. Remember?
To Devil's Backbone?
Yeah. We were going through there.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
We were actually on our way to shoot the Bourbon Trail for a different restaurant chain that wanted to do some stuff on bourbon. So we were headed to Bardstown, Kentucky from New York, and I had gone south, and Mark, you were in D.C. for some reason because you're from there.
Sure.
And we'd met, and then we were heading out, and you said, we should stop at this place.
We had been to the 2010 GABF, and Devil's Backbone was one of those breweries that year, where they came out of nowhere, and suddenly they were meddling, and people were saying, who are these people? They're making amazing beer. Why
so what's it like? Devil's Backbone. Quick summary. What's the brewery like? What's the neighborhood like?
Oh, the neighborhood
is... I want to go there.
So much has changed since we were there.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's ski country, if you want to call it that.
It's not really a neighborhood. It's kind of it's on a mountaintop.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's like being in a ski lodge.
Well, the reason it's called the Devil's Backbone, isn't it? There's a historical reason, right? It was that some army moving through there, a revolutionary army, was like, the terrain was so rough that they said, this is like the Devil's Backbone. Yeah. Anyway,
and they've
wanted to give some context. Thank you.
And just stopped by there a couple months ago, and boy, the difference in 5 years is unbelievable.
Yeah, they're huge now, right?
Huge outdoor area where they do concerts and theater. They have another bar outside. They have another brewing facility that's
Lexington.
Lexington, Virginia. Yeah. So the success has translated. They are blossoming, and they become a destination.
And they do really cool German styles.
They do.
I mean, they do an IPA or two, but focus is, I think their flagship is the Vienna Lager.
Yeah, the Vienna Lager. Yeah.
And this is something we've seen around the country, because now that we've been doing this as long as we've been doing it, we've had the opportunity to visit when a brewery was just getting started, and then come back a couple of years later and see the changes. And almost without fail, every single place. I mean, Cape Ann in Gloucester is another example.
Massachusetts,
really spectacular story there. Jeremy Goldberg, who's the owner and head brewer, is a buddy of ours. And I visited them in, I think, 2007, when they had just a little tasting room in an industrial complex, and there wasn't much more to it than that. But they were making some difference in their community, and we've been back a couple times since then, and they've got a huge, thriving brew pub on the waterfront in Gloucester. Gloucester, Massachusetts, and
it's changed that whole neighborhood.
The entire city's changed, and the last time I was there, I sort of looked at him and I said, you know, a lot of this is because of you, and he sort of deferred a little bit, but it's true. I mean, they made an investment in that community and that waterfront, and the entire city is different.
We had that same conversation with Adam Avery at Avery Brewing in Colorado. We're hanging out with him in Boulder, and he was telling us, and this was years ago, he's telling us, well, you know, we really want to expand, but we don't want to do it if we can't do it in Boulder County.
Yeah.
And that meant they had to wait and wait and wait for the proper piece of land to come available.
And they have.
And now it's gorgeous, you know. But we've had the ability to watch craft beer change whole swaths of our country. And it's really exciting. And it's only continuing.
Well, I mean, look at Brooklyn Brewery. I mean, if we want to talk about changing the neighborhood, I mean, holy cow. Yeah. What the heck?
They can't afford to be there anymore.
Right. Well, none of us can.
Well, you know what? This is really awesome getting to sit with you guys and talk about your show. So again, it's the Happy Hour Guys.
TheHappyHourGuys.com. Yeah.
And it's a great site. And a lot. If you really want to learn about beer, you told us some places you've been. But it's definitely worth checking out.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah. Actually, the latest episode just posted yesterday, and it's our buddies at Spider Bite Brewing in Long Island, man.
Cool.
You know,
Long Island. A couple of years ago, who'd have thought it? But there's so much going on in Long Island right now. It's an exciting place to go.
Yeah.
You know, people used to think you'd just go out there for wine country, but not anymore.
No.
I'd say Happy Hour Guys, you guys rock. And Justin, you've got a piece out on the tasting table right now.
Yeah, it's about five. Cool places to drink, including
Japan, Rome,
Tokyo, Rome, Los Angeles, Tampa.
We've done
Bay,
Tokyo. We've been to Tokyo.
And New York City. I feel like I had to defend that recently. Someone was saying New York City is one of the worst beer cities that he had been to. And I said,
have they been here recently?
Yeah, seriously.
Someone who was on the show a few weeks ago, actually. And I said, you're effing crazy, because we have access to some of the best beer in the city. And, Yeah, he had some arguments about it, but I think it's definitely
Whoever that was, we should take him out for a night. Yeah. We'll take him out for a night of drinking.
In fact, if you're listening, next week, November 3rd, we're going to go to have Rich from Bridge and Tunnel. He's just expanded, and we're going to go visit his new brewery. Oh,
nice.
In Ridgewood,
in Ridgewood, Queens. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot going on in New York City. Yeah,
yeah. Awesome.
I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Jimmy, Mark, Justin Squiggs, and Justin Kennedy for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Justin Kennedy and Maggie Seiden, and to our engineer tonight, Liz, who's awesome. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.